Welcome to Women's Wealth, the podcast with me, Joanne. My mission is to educate, inspire, and empower you all to step into your own life of wealth. That feeling of being so rich in your mind, body, and soul. I'm so happy to have you here. Let's get straight into it. Of Women's Wealth with Joanne, the podcast. You're either listening to me or now watching me on YouTube, and you will see that I have a beautiful guest with me today. I have Georgia Alice, who is a women's online health, fitness, well-being coach, and she's here today to share her expertise with you all. So welcome, Georgia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Lovely weather. I know you just said the weather's not great where you are, but I'm feeling good. The weather's good in Dubai at the moment.
It's getting there in the UK.
Yes.
Spring is near here.
When you hit this, we hit oven temperatures. So that's when everyone leaves and they like get to the UK for the nice weather. So it's swimming around the rest.
Yeah.
Okay, so welcome. Before we get into the nitty gritty, tell my listeners a little bit about you, what you do, what's your mission, anything you think that's important so when you know that you're here, you have a mission. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you. So as you said, I'm a women's online health and fitness coach, and I place a massive, massive emphasis on the kind of like holistic approach. I think I get a lot of questions and people are like, oh, you're a PT. And I think for me, it's so much more than that. I like to take almost, I call it a 360 degree approach on women's health and fitness. I do work predominantly with ladies looking to lose weight, tone up, and just feel so much better and more confident in themselves. So, you know, it's looking into their nutrition, their exercise, but also their mindset, their mental health, you know, all those other bits and bobs that all play a massive part in their ability to progress. And I think obviously we spoke a little bit before we jumped on this podcast. We both kind of come from quite a similar place actually with, you know, our careers and what we do. And, you know, I come from that place where I was that person that went into the gym and had no idea what I was doing. You know, I'd go to the treadmill and walk for an hour, be really bored, hate it, cancel my gym membership because I just didn't have any love for it. And I actually trained to be a PT so I could learn how to better my own self. And then, as I said to you earlier, I had that almost light bulb moment and thought, if I can help literally just one person not go through what I went through, then that's my life made. And that's kind of how I got to where I am now, I suppose, and what I do.
Yeah, I think the gym, like, is it, I've actually, funny you say about cancelling your gym membership, I've just cancelled mine. And I know, obviously, I'm a yoga teacher, I do lots of yoga, and I find, you know, now that I have, we'll talk about the mindset, but for me, I can't get comfortable in a gym. And I don't know if it's just the gyms in Dubai or I feel like they're very masculine. So I completely understand when you say, you know, cancelling, because I cancelled and I get all, you know, when people come over and like, how many reps have you got left? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just sitting down trying my best.
Yeah.
So if I came to you and I said, what would your advice be or what would you suggest for me? That I know I've already cancelled it, but I do have the tools elsewhere, but for someone who doesn't have the tools that I have, and I think a lot of it is motivation, like I can motivate myself to, yes, I've cancelled the gym, but I'm very lucky I have a swimming pool across the street and I can go, you know, walking, I do yoga and, you know, I have other classes. But for someone who is a blank slate, they've gone to the gym and experienced what I experienced, or other women, where do you start with that?
Yeah, no, of course. And a lot of the clients that I work with come to me in that place that you literally just described. You know, they're petrified of the gym. And I think what you said about it being a very masculine environment, it is so true, unfortunately. You know, it is slowly improving, but I think the first thing is to acknowledge that the gym is not the be-all and end-all. You don't have to go to the gym to become a better version of yourself physically, mentally, you know, to lose weight, to tone up. You don't have to be tied to going to the gym. And so I think, first of all, making people aware of that, because I think people place a lot of pressure because they see other people going to the gym and they say, oh, you know, she goes to the gym, so I should go to the gym. And it's really not like that. And health and fitness, well-being, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's what works best for you. Some people just physically don't have the time to go to the gym. Some people, like you say, don't have the resources to get to a gym. Some people just don't want to go to the gym, and that's okay. I think a big thing with exercise is finding what you love and what you enjoy. As you mentioned about, you know, feeling like you can motivate yourself, that's probably because you enjoy what you do. So when you do your yoga practices or you go for your swim, you enjoy it, and it makes you feel good and it fills your cup up. And that's what you want from exercise. And that's what I learned very on in my own gym journey. The reason I had this cycle of going to the gym, cancelling, trying somewhere else, hoping it would be different, is because all I did was cardio. And I now know that I don't like just walking on the treadmill. It's boring. It doesn't light me up inside. And so I think that, and acknowledging that, is really important. And also knowing that there are so many different avenues, even within the gym. I have some clients that love to do cardio, some clients that love to lift weights, some clients that, like you said, love to do classes like yourself. You know, so it's about finding what works for you, and you should never place any pressure on yourself to do one thing or another just because that's what you see others doing, because everyone is very different and everyone's on their own path.
Yeah, and just as you were talking then, I was just thinking to myself, like, why did I join? And I think there was this, I hadn't had a gym membership for however long because I was doing other things, and there was just a bit of a pressure, and I don't know where that came from, that I felt like I needed to have a gym membership. Yeah. And I honestly hardly went for the year, and you know, you have that first month where you're like, right, I'm paying for it, and then you're like, oh, well, it's this much a month, and it's, you know, I'm not using it, but maybe I'll go to a few classes. And I got to the point of, I'm really not using this, so I ended up cancelling early. But I can't put my finger on where do you think that pressure, I can't place it. So where, when you talk to ladies, where is this pressure coming from that we feel like that's what we should be doing? But what do you think?
Yeah, so again, as you were talking there, the cogs were turning. And I think there's a massive thing on social media now about being a gym girl. And that kind of aesthetic or lifestyle is talked about and glamorized quite a lot. You do also obviously get people who are, you show the other side of the gym, the not so glamorous side, where you walk into a weight and knock your knee on something. That's normally my life. But I think it's very glamorized on social media. And it's very kind of, yeah, I suppose as well, like we said about, we're now going from more of a masculine energy in the gym, and more females are getting into the weightlifting. So I definitely think people see a lot of it on social media, and they feel like, oh, that's the done thing now. You know, I'm a woman and I have to break the mold that was and be strong and go to the gym. And actually, no, you don't have to do that at all.
Yeah, like, I think, yeah, that is it. It's kind of this pressure of keeping up with the men. I've spoken about that before in other podcasts, that we do have that, you know, we need to be doing this. The men are doing this, and now we can do this. It's the 21st century and everything is equal. Yeah. When you're working with women, do you remind them that we're not equal in that sense? Because they come in with this, I can do it, he can do it type mentality. So how do you navigate that? Because it is kind of, I've been called anti-feminist, you know, when I'm telling people, like, we're not small men, we shouldn't be doing this. And there's some women that are like, what? I thought you were a feminist, you know, like that. So when women come to you and they have that mindset, how do you broach it? How do you sort of teach them that it's okay, we're not small men?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think with what you said, we've almost gone like full circle, haven't we, with all of that. And now we're having that more realization that actually, number one, we're built different. You know, our bodies work in a sort of, you know, roughly 28 to 30 day cycle. And for men, it's 24 hours. So it's very different. The way we, you know, internally function is completely different. So I place a massive emphasis on education with my clients, and kind of like taking every single, I suppose, speed bump that comes up in their journey as an opportunity to educate them so that they have the knowledge of that further down the line. And something we talk about a lot is our cycles and how that affects us. So for example, if I'm having a client coming to me and they're saying, oh, Georgia, I just feel so tired, you know, and just really low this week. Normally my first question will be, where are you on your cycle? Because there's normally a very strong correlation. It might be that they're in the like couple of days or the week leading up to their period. And so from then, and like delving a little bit deeper, I will then go back to them and be like, okay, right, so this is where you're sitting and this is why you're feeling like that. And I think taking every opportunity to educate women on their bodies and how we function not only helps to impact their health and fitness, but they can take that into the rest of their life. You know, if they're having a week where they're just struggling with a, you know, mental clarity isn't quite as good, and like we said, fatigued, mood is low, they know that they might just need to be a little bit kinder to themselves during their working days, and, you know, maybe work in your trackies if you're working from home, and, you know, sit on the sofa instead of having to drag yourself to your desk and put your nice clothes on, and know that it's okay to have those days and weeks that feel a bit different because our bodies work on that sort of extended cycle period. So education is massively, like, super important for that.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That when I learned about my cycle properly, yeah. It was just like, oh wow, I'm normal.
Yeah.
And I think I was in my 30s when I actually, because other than GCSEs, mm-hmm. and you learn about this is the menstrual cycle, this is going to happen every 28 days, and you learn about, actually, I don't know if we learned about each phase. We definitely don't learn that during ovulation, this happens, during follicular phase, this happens, and you might feel this way, and yeah. Luteal phase, you might feel as, you know, it's the thoughts and feelings that really blew my mind. I was like, mm-hmm. right, okay, this is why the week before my period that I'm short-tempered, or I'm, because I was just convinced that this was just me. I'm just a bitch sometimes, you know? And then once I realized, and now I'm like, right, okay, I feel a bit. So yesterday, I can give real life example. I was working from home and my partner came in, and because I've been on my own all day in a little bubble, I'm quite introvert, so I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good yeah. being on my own. So then when he came in and he was like, what's for tea? What's in the tea? And what's this? And what's that? And I was just like, oh my God, I love you, but please stop asking questions. And I just felt that I was irrationally angry because he was asking the questions. And I checked the app and it's 7 days for my bleed. So I was like, right, I've got 7 days for my period. So I'm not being horrible, but just don't ask me.
Yeah.
And then we were walking the dogs later and I was like, well, this is what was in the sauce. And then I told you. When I was ready, but before, it really used to make me feel like I'm a horrible person. Yeah. Why am I feeling like this?
And you almost beat yourself up for it.
Yeah, I'm angry for no reason and I want to cry. And now I'm like, right, I know why. My hormone levels are dropping. My body is doing this. And I'm like, okay, I just ride it.
Yeah, you do have to just ride the wave.
Yeah, yeah. And I think just learning that as well, that it's normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you've just said, asking my clients, if even for yoga, if they're like tired, like, where are you in your cycle?
Yeah.
I think that's really important. So if anyone is listening to this and you have a PT, or if you don't and you're going to the gym, to look where you are in your cycle, because yeah. it's going to have a huge effect.
Massively. And like you said, you know, it can really impact your training, you know, especially if we're talking from a gym sense, you know, lifting weights, you're going to feel weaker. And quite often a lot of the ladies that I work with are, you know, they're very driven and self-motivated and they want to push and succeed. But actually it's learning for them to understand that, okay, I'm on my period this week. I still want to go into the gym if you feel good enough to, but don't necessarily expect to be able to perform to the same level that you would usually, because your body's going through a lot that week.
It does. And even just having that acknowledgement of like how amazing all of this is going on inside of me. No wonder I'm tired. No wonder I'm a bit grumpy. Like, this is just happening naturally. We don't have to flick a switch on, like, right, okay, now I'm on to this. So it's just having that, I'm like, oh my God, so amazing. Thank you. Yes, I know
yeah.
the mood, but so just going to, so you just mentioned mindset. So you have some clients that, you know, they want to do it and they're working out. How do you overcome, so if someone's listening to this as well and they're just like, and I think the only mood I can describe it is that they want to change, they want to do, but it's that feeling of like, oh, I just can't be bothered, and they haven't got that drive, that determination, how do you kick those women up the butt? Because that's what they want. That's why they come to you, but mm-hmm. they still have the, you know, they're coming to you because they want that, but they still need the dynamite. So how do you do that? What advice, what words of wisdom, how do you motivate those type of women?
Yeah, so I think first thing, you almost need to circle back to why you want this. I think a lot of people lose sight, I call it like your why. So, you know, why is it that you want to lose weight? And not just saying, oh, I want to lose weight because I want to feel better, but why do you want to feel better? You know, almost being like, you know, when you have little kids and they're like, why? Mm-hmm. Why? Like, you almost need to treat yourself a little bit like that to really dig down to the root cause. And, you know, it might actually be quite uncomfortable and quite painful, which is okay, because ultimately, you know, as you know, if you want to change, there's a deep-rooted reason why you want that change. And so, you know, either having that sort of thought process and an almost internal conversation with yourself, or doing some journaling and writing it down, you know, okay, what's my number one goal for this year? Okay, I'd like to lose some weight, or I'd like to get stronger. Then asking yourself, why do I want to get stronger? Is it that someone at school said to you, oh, you've got spaghetti arms, and or you're a weed, or something like that? There's always going to be something more deep-rooted, and as uncomfortable as sometimes that can feel, it almost gives you like that dynamite, like you say, and you're like, actually, no, I want to prove those people wrong, or I want to finally feel good in my clothes. I want to stop hiding from the camera when someone gets out to take a photo. All of those little things can, you all of a sudden have a little bit more traction and momentum, and you start feeling more fired up. And I had a similar kind of, I suppose, chat with myself the other day. I'm currently in preparation for a photo shoot that I'm doing in May. And the last couple of weeks, like, I haven't felt like myself. I've been struggling to, I suppose, motivate myself, which also goes to show that it's normal for us too as well to have that. And I'm coming out to Dubai in 5 weeks' time for a business conference. So I'm going to be with lots of other coaches who are in incredible shape. And so I had a chat with myself and I was like, Georgia, you need to pull your finger out, because yes, you're preparing for your photo shoot, but you, like, why do I want to feel good? And, you know, is it that I'm going to compare myself to others? Is it that I want to feel confident when I come out to Dubai and not have to worry about what I'm wearing? And all of a sudden, like, the last couple of days, I'm like, no, I need to sort myself out. And I've almost had a 360 because I had that kind of reflection, I suppose. So that's a really good place to start, especially if you're kind of like working on your own at the moment and you're struggling to get that kick up the butt that you need. Dig deep and think about, really and truly, why do you want this?
Yeah, I love that. I have to do the same for myself as well. And like you've said, I think it's good to hear coaches,
yeah,
you know, mentors. Yeah, we have to do that kick up the bum for ourselves and remind ourselves of the why. And especially, you know, business, and, you know, when it's quiet and it's very easy to think, oh, I give up, because there's always so many reasons to give up, but the reasons to carry on always outweigh those, because 100%. It's a feeling, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. how do you want to feel? Like you said, you want to feel comfortable here, and that comparison, and again, just picking up on that of where do you think that women, again, why we have this comparison, don't we? Mm. And, you know, just picking up on what you've said, you were doing it before you get yourself up the bum, comparing yourself to the people who could possibly be here, but you haven't seen them yet, but there's that possible block, isn't there? Do you find that that comes up a lot as well? You sort of make it up before it happens.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And I think, again, the way that the female brain works, I don't know about yours, but mine tends to go 100 miles an hour most of the time. And we're constantly having that cycle of overthinking. And like you said, half the time, the situations that we come up with are completely irrational. Like you say, I have no idea who I'm going to see in Dubai. I have no idea what they look like. I have no idea what they're doing. But, you know, comparison is, you know, I always say, is the thief of joy. But it's something that I think is so common. Again, I don't think social media helps. And I say that as someone who promotes their business on social media. And social media is a great thing for that reason, and for so many reasons. But I definitely think the fact that we see so many situations that aren't necessarily 100% reality definitely does not help these days.
Yeah, and I was actually talking this morning with one of my friends about social media and how we put a lot of people, even as adults, on a pedestal. So we see, I'll see other yoga teachers or mentors or, I don't know, anyone who's sort of in a wellness sphere and think, oh my God, look what they're doing way better than me, and I bet she's not stressed out, and I bet she goes to the gym every day, and we kind of place each other on the pedestal and keep ourselves at the bottom, don't we? And throughout life, I think, and it's just giving yourself time to reflect on, actually, we all feel the same, we all think the same. Mm-hmm. And you've got two people here who having a conversation, who work in the wellness industry, telling you that we do that. So if us two do it, then, you know, every single person in the wellness industry will be doing it. So when you're not in the wellness industry and you're looking at people and you're comparing, just remembering that behind the scenes, no one posts the, I can't be bothered today, so I'm going to sit on the sofa.
Yes. Because it's not glamorous, it doesn't sell. That's why people don't talk about it. It's really sad. And I think even as someone who is, I suppose, a content creator, I don't know if I can call myself that, but I create content, I suppose anyone could call themselves that. And even as from that perspective, you know, I try to show the rough with the smooth, because, you know, it's very easy for someone to look at my page, or like you say, anyone else in this space's page, and almost get quite intimidated. And I quite often come across other coaches, even, you know, though I'm in this industry, and I look, oh my gosh, they look a bit scary, you know, they look at their body like they look amazing, and like it can be quite intimidating. And like you said, even as people who are within this industry, we still have those feelings as well.
Just interrupting this episode to remind you to please like, subscribe, drop 5 stars if you enjoy listening to my podcast. It really does mean the world to me. And also to remind you, you can now watch every episode on my YouTube channel. Head to YouTube, type in Joanne Wealth, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, 100%. So moving from the body to the mind, how do you think when women are looking at working out and then we get through the mindset, one of the next struggles that we have is diet and nutrition, and again, overcoming those obstacles? How do you help guide women through, you know, their relationship with food? Because I think that's another thing as women, that we've kind of, and especially a certain age pre-social media, when, you know, if you grew up in the 90s, early 2000s, when it was all stick thin. So if and you know the question, does my bum look big in this? And it was a no. Like now you want someone to say yes.
Yes, yeah, so true.
Yeah, but back then, so we've kind of, you know, women, I'm not picking ages, so if you're younger than that, it just, it's different. So we've seen growing up, we've had to look like Kate Moss and be a wave to Britney Spears with the six pack to now,
like, you know, Kim Kardashians and
Kim Kardashian, big bum.
That's what it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the diets that go with that, and all of these diets we see. So was it Kim Kardashian's diet to get in the Marilyn Monroe dress? And sometimes when I'm talking to women and the diets that they're on and the crazy things that they're doing to put weight on, but then at the same time trying to lose weight and, you know, eating certain foods so it just goes to the bum, I'm like, that's not possible.
Okay. unless you have a BBL.
So how do you help women sort of that way to, I guess it's healing our relationship with food and diet. So how do you help women to sort of navigate through that?
As you've quite rightly just said, it's a bit of a minefield. That's one thing. But I think it's learning to understand that, first of all, food is fuel for our body. And I always give the analogy, not that I'm a car person at all, but you wouldn't try and drive a car without putting petrol in it. So why would you expect your body to function and run as you need it to without giving it enough food? So whether it's someone who, like you say, wants to build a bigger bum and needs to eat more, or wants to lose a little bit of weight and therefore maybe needs to eat a little bit less, it's still really important to get food in. And that's one thing that I really want clients, you know, or anyone listening to understand, is that food is so, so crucial for our overall health and well-being, you know, mental health, physical health. And then as well, it's getting that away from this mindset. And I don't generally like to use the word diet too much. You know, it's a lifestyle that we're creating. And also, I think as well, understanding that there is life and there needs to be life outside of your calorie deficit or diet or whatever you want to label it as. Because I think a lot of people, you know, if they jump on the sort of like fad diet train, not to delve sort of too far down another road, but that's the way a lot of women that I speak to have gone in the past, and they go on their sort of Slimming World, keto, whatever it is, and then they finish it and then they just go back to normal because they haven't taken the time to create a lifestyle that is sustainable for them. And they also don't understand how to come out the other side of that program or plan that they've been on. So it's trying to shift the perspective away from this kind of, you're either on your diet or you're off your diet, you know, all or nothing mentality, and understanding that food is there to fuel our bodies, to make us feel good.
Yeah. And I think just to hit the nail on the head there as well with the sustainability of keeping these diets. And I have friends who I feel like have been on diets for, well, forever.
Yeah.
They're always on some kind of diet when I see them. Yeah. And keto, paleo, some random ones that I don't even know.
There's so many.
Yeah. And they just flick from one to another, whichever one is in fashion.
Yeah.
And they just spend their whole lives just wondering why they're not working and, mm-hmm. you know, not seeing much difference. And again, it's because I feel like those diets don't see food as fuel.
Yeah.
It's as if food is the enemy, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Well, I was talking to, I think it was a conversation that I had with my mum the other day, and we were talking about Slimming World and how they label foods by how many sins they have in. And the fact that, I know exactly, you associate food with the sin, like that's horrendous. And, you know, I say to clients, like, there's no such thing as a good or bad food, you know. It's just some foods might be a slightly better quality fuel for your body and you'll feel better for eating them. But there's nothing wrong with eating some chocolate, you know. And I think it's normalizing those foods as well, you know, yeah. within a certain degree. But nutrition really is a massive, massive mindset. And I always say to clients, I'll never come to you and say, why did you eat a chocolate bar? Why did you have a glass of wine? Why did you have the takeaway? Because we're all human. We all do those things from time to time. It's just learning to enjoy them in balance and in moderation and in a way that you can still remain on the correct path towards your goals. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. It's striking that balance.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, just... Do they still call in Weight Watchers? Do they have still? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, Weight Watchers is still a thing.
So it's still a thing. In Dubai, there isn't. So obviously, I've been out of it for a while.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of what was the show that they used to? Was it on Little Britain? I always just think of that. But yeah, it's, and if they're still calling it sin, I'm guessing they're not doing the mindset work around it either.
I know, it's really damaging. And I think as well, I obviously have never like gone down that route, but I coach a lot of clients who have come from, like you say, Weight Watchers, Slimming World. Mm. And I think they have to go and do like a weigh-in in front of other people as well, which how, you know, awful yeah. must, like the nervousness. And I've even heard people tell me stories that on the day of their weigh-in, like they won't eat all day, and say they're like weigh-in at 5 o'clock at their Slimming World group, they won't eat all day, and then they'll then go and have, you know, the takeaway, the ice cream and everything. And it's just, it's really scary how damaging it can
yeah.
be.
Because that's mentally, that's not the right mindset. And
not
you're punishing your body in a sense, because, you know, you need to eat during the day, whether you're going to yeah. have a weigh-in or not. And then
I know.
Do they not factor in if you're working out that muscle weighs heavier than fat? So
exactly,
if you're working
yeah.
out, you know, it's, you could be probably are losing weight, but you're gaining muscle. So
yeah,
it's
exactly.
not, it's a very old-fashioned way of,
it is, yeah. And that's definitely, I would 100% agree with that. It's very, yeah, old-fashioned, because it doesn't, especially speaking from a female perspective, if you think you lose all this weight and you just eat less and less and less, as we get older, you actually need to be thinking about how are you going to maintain your muscle mass. You know, muscle mass naturally depletes as we get older. We get higher risk of things like osteoporosis and that sort of thing, which actually it's proven that resistance training and, you know, gentle weight training and exercise can help reduce the risk of that. So if you come through your whole adult life constantly on this, you know, Slimming World, Weight Watchers, whatever diet, and just, you know, constantly depriving your body, you're going to end up paying the price further down the line as you age. You know, the effect of that is going to be so much bigger, which is the really scary part, I think.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons that I recently started. I spoke about this in another podcast, but I was vegetarian for years and years and years and years and years, never been vegan. But the more I learned about what happens to your body, you know, as women, as we get older, and that we need the nutrients from meat and we need the protein. And I was like, right, okay, I need to make a decision here. Do I want to, you know, make it more difficult for myself or for the sake of being able to say, oh, I'm a vegetarian? Or do I start introducing some meat into my diet? And I did. And already I can notice a difference, like in my energy levels. It's only been this towards the end of last year, this year. So I obviously thought that I was doing all the right things when I was a vegetarian, thought I was getting, you know, the protein in there, and, you know, nothing against people, you know, some people probably did it better than I was managing it, but I was just tired, low energy. And because I have such a, you know, some days teaching 4 hours of yoga,
that's hard.
Yeah. And then think like, I just wasn't getting the energy. Then I was obviously, I was aching and I was felt like I was having to recover. As soon as I've added meat into my diet, that's, you know, that's not having lots. Yeah. But just little bits here and there when I've been out, you know, I had a burger for the first time since I was like a teenager and a steak. We had a barbecue and I had steak, and just those little bits are already. And I don't know if it's iron as well, but
yeah, I was going to say actually about iron, because even obviously, like going back to what we were saying with the cycle, think about what happens on your period. You're literally losing blood, so your iron levels drop. So actually a little bit of extra red meat around that time is really beneficial. So it's interesting that you brought that factor up as well.
Yeah, and it's, and I can, you know, I was vegetarian, I think, for about, God, I want to say 20. I was young. I was like 9 or 10. I was like, Mum, I'm going to be a vegetarian. And because I'm stubborn, I stuck to it for about 20, 25 years, because then it just became a habit.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I've always struggled. I'm not up to put weight on, and I've always been on the slighter side. And it, like now I think, like, would I be bigger if, you know, through the whole through puberty I didn't eat meat? So, you know, obviously I can't go back and change that now, but it has made me wonder that am I small because I wasn't eating meat as I was going through puberty. Like when I got my first period, I wasn't eating meat, and I did all of that without meat. So is that why I'm small, you know, I'm quite petite? I'll never know. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear as well from your perspective, how, because normally, like you say, people go the other way and people go, oh, I need to become vegetarian or I need to become vegan. But actually it's really interesting to hear you have kind of gone on the flip side of that journey and actually how much better you feel for it.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing as well, and I'm sure you'll agree, that it's okay to, you know, food is meant to be fun. And this is something that I've learned, and I'm sure you tell your clients the same, that, you know, when we go out for food, like how amazing is it? And then, you know, this wasn't the thing 100 years ago. You would now it's an enjoyable experience that we leave the house to eat. And you know, it's meant to be enjoyable. It's meant to be something that you do together as partner, family, friends. And as soon as you start taking, you know, the fun out of food, you're also then restricting the fun there. Like, are you avoiding going to certain places? And I think we need to bring the mindset into women that it's okay to eat.
Yeah.
You know? And I always bring up, you know, when you go for food with your friends and you want dessert and they ask, it, does anyone want the dessert menu? And everyone's like, yeah, no one wants to say, yes, I want the dessert menu. And I always think, right, I'm just going to be that person every time. I'm going to say yes, because I know everyone else Whether I do or I don't, I'm going to say yes, bring it, to get the ball rolling, because we should be having the desserts. We only live once. So
yeah. Oh, I say this to clients all the time. I always say, you know, like, calories over memories. You know.
Yeah.
Well, no, memories over calories. Sorry, but that was a complete wrong way around. You know what I mean? You know, and like you say, food is something that is meant to be enjoyed. You know, I look forward to eating so much. You know, I'm always thinking, oh, what's my next meal? I get excited about it. And, you know, it brings people together. It's a social thing. And I never want to take that away from anybody. So it's almost learning how to, you know, whatever part of your journey you're on, just learning to navigate it and still be able to enjoy it and not have to feel like you're restricting yourself. I think that's a big thing that women try and do. They try and put all these strict boundaries and, you know, things upon themselves that actually we have to remember at the end of the day, we're here to live a long and fulfilled life.
Yeah, I love that. And just to end then, so if you had a magic wand and you could wave your magic wand within your industry, within your coaching, what would your wish be for women, or what would you use your magic wand to do?
Oh, that's a hard one. I feel like I've got so many things. So many things. I think probably actually with what we spoke about with the sort of fad diet industry, I think it would be to completely wave my wand and remove that so it didn't exist, so people could just have a better understanding that this is life at the end of the day. You know, we're real people, we have real problems, we have ups, we have downs, and we have everything in between. And you know, life is there to be enjoyed whilst still getting towards your goals. So if I could eradicate all those kind of like extreme methods and give people that understanding, I think that's probably the number one thing that I would do.
Yeah, I love that. And just one, I've got a question. I know that was the end. One more question. With the fad diets, I'm in the understanding, you'll probably know better than me, that a lot of them are actually made as well without doing the research on women, because, you know, we have different hormones throughout our cycle. So they're all based on the outcome of them is mostly men. Yeah. So, you know, like keto, and they're not tested on women because it's too much data. Yeah. So, you know, finding a woman that's at this point in a cycle and then this point, they're going to need 28 women to test it.
Yeah.
Just to see, you know, at least. And then you've got women who are pregnant or, you know, trying to get pregnant and breastfeeding. So those fad diets are all targeted to your average male. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah. Oh, massively. Yeah. Because like you say, our bodies change like the wind. And, you know, if you're trying to conceive, if you're pregnant, if you're out the other side, you know, postpartum, there's just so much more that comes into play for us, and it's really not taken into account. And actually it can be really damaging for your body long term to be, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of people, you know, they're constantly dieting. You know, whenever you see them, they're just on a new diet, and actually long term it's not good for our hormones, for our bodies, like we spoke about with aging and everything like that. It can be so dangerous. So yeah, it really does not look, it's a very, I'd say, one-dimensional approach. And us as women, we're not like that at all.
Yeah. So yeah, magic wand, goodbye fad diets.
Yes, please.
And thank you Georgia, thank you for joining me. I know I've learned a lot, and I know that the listeners who do contact me, they're gonna go resonate so well with everything that you've said today as well, because I think it's we're all in this together. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise, and I will put all of your information into the show notes. Do you have anything that you want to share, any programs coming up or anything that you want to add on?
I was just going to say, easiest place if anyone wants to drop me a message or has got any questions is Instagram, obviously, as we spoke about. I know that you'll pop my handle and stuff in the show notes. If they have got any questions, like, my DMs are always open. Never feel like you can't message. And then if people want more information on coaching, there's a link in my bio, so just hit that and then I'll be able to give you some more information.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening. I will see you all next week.